adventures in research. His father was a blacksmith. His uncles were grocers and cobblers. His brother a plumber. But this lad attained the heights of scientific achievement. His name was Michael Faraday. His story, The Adventure of the Modest Bookbinder. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the inspiring story of Michael Faraday, who from a modest beginning and a humble home rose to the top rung on the ladder of scientific success. Let us look in on him at this hour of greatness. In 1857, he had arrived at what most men regard as the summit of fame. The Royal Society feted him at a banquet.
And so, gentlemen and colleagues, it is my most happy privilege to offer this post, the presidency of the Royal Society, to the most brilliant scientist of our generation, Michael Faraday.
Gentlemen, I thank you for your honor. Professor Tyndall, I regret that I cannot accept this most magnanimous offer. However, I must remain plain Michael Faraday to the last.
Throughout his life, Faraday declined academic distinctions and economic rewards in order that he might be free to investigate nature as plain Michael Faraday. And plain was his origin. He received a scanty education in reading, writing, and arithmetic. Due to the poor circumstances of his family, he was put to work when 13 years old, an apprentice bookbinder. The sign over the door read, George Rabot, bookseller and stationer, number 2 Blandford Street. Were we to walk in?
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Sanderson. And what might your pleasure be?
I believe you said the book would be ready.
Book? Oh, yes, the book. Young Faraday is out at the moment delivering some newspapers. I have a very nice newspaper lending service, you know. Only costs a few bob a month. And, Michael, the book must be somewhere.
Conversations in Chemistry is the title, by Marseille.
Ah, that book. Michael must have it over here. I'm rather sorry you called for it.
Nothing has happened to it, has it?
Oh, no, but the lad has been reading it and reading it. He has quite an interest in science.
Indeed. I trust he's left it none the worse for wear.
Oh, no, I assure you. But how he does love science. He even buys some chemistry things, you know. Nothing much, of course, for a few pence a week. But he has made an electrical machine out of a glass bottle that I know.
Yes. How much do I owe you?
Oh, yes, Mr. Sanderson. That'll be 4 shillings.
But Faraday was not binding books or reading them. He was attending lectures by prominent scientists. And one of these was the greatest scientist of his day, Sir Humphry Davy. So engrossed was young Faraday that he copied down some of Davy's lectures, furnished them with an attractive binding, and sent them to the learned man.
Sir Humphry, I hope you will find for these copies of your lectures some room on your library shelf. As I am interested in the subjects you lecture on, I respectfully inquire if there might be some job in your laboratory. I trust...
Trust this Fanzhou in good health. Respectfully yours, Michael Faraday. Can now, the lad certainly has spirit. Excellent job of binding, too. Well, now perhaps we could do something for you, Michael Faraday.
And that is how Sir Humphry Davy, one of England's greatest chemists, made what he always said was his greatest discovery, Michael Faraday. The young lad of 20 was given a position.
Officially, Michael, you'll be named assistant to me in the laboratory of the Royal Institution.
Wonderful, sir. Wonderful.
Your duties will be washing the bottles. polishing the desks, cleaning inkwells, and sweeping the floors.
And so the blacksmith's son turned from bookbinding to janitor work. But it was not too long before he was able to demonstrate to Sir Humphrey that he was much more than just the janitor.
Michael,
Holt. Yes, sir?
Oh, here you are. Well, the laboratory looks very neat, boy. Except whatever on earth is this mess?
Oh, excuse me, Sir Humphrey. I was making an experiment.
Experiment? No.
Yes.
Oh, fine, lad. Only one mustn't let the laboratory get disarrayed, you know.
Well, sir, I wanted to show it to you first.
Me? Well, now, what have you here? No foul-smelling concoction, I trust.
No, sir. I was making a study of chlorine. And I think I have discovered two new chlorides of carbon.
Well, now, that is a... Chlorides of carbon? Here, one side, let me have a look at this.
Soon, Sir Humphrey Davy found more and more use for the help and assistance of young Faraday. With the help of such tutoring, Faraday set to work to explore the diffusion of gases. He succeeded in liquefying several gases, investigated the alloys of steel, and produced several new kinds of optical glass. It was only a matter of time until he came into his own. And when Sir Humphrey was asked to name a new director for the laboratory...
Michael Faraday, obviously.
And by 1830, Michael Faraday was obsessed with a new idea.
No, I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Faraday isn't in right now. Would you care to have a seat?
If you are certain he'll be back shortly, I'd like
to... This here's his study. Oh, he'll be back all right. The fact is, he rarely leaves his desk for a minute. Not that he ain't always been that way, sir, but even more so of late.
Any idea of what he's working on?
Oh, I get me a glimpse of his writings now and then, but I can't make head nor tail of myself. You can see the book there on the desk.
Conversion of magnetism into electricity.
Whatever that may mean, he's been winding wire and playing with magnets. Not that I say he's daft, mind you, but I know...
Crawford!
Seek me, that's him. Not a word now of what I was saying. In here, Mr. Faraday. You have company, sir?
Oh.
Ames, Mr. Faraday. Stephen Ames. I've attended several of your lectures, and I trust you received my letter.
Oh, yes, Ames. Nice of you to call. Sorry I was out. You're interested in electricity, as I recall.
Yes, sir, I am. I'm attempting the rotation of magnets and current-carrying conductors round each other.
I've been working on much the same thing.
Oh?
It should be the result of the force between an electric current and a magnetic pole first stated by Oersted. But the continuous rotation of a wire around a magnet and the magnet around the wire is something of a scientific puzzle. And such things always intrigue me.
The puzzle being?
Well, on the one hand, the electric current forms a closed circuit. While on the other hand, the two magnetic poles have equal but opposite properties, and they're inseparably connected.
Well, so the tendency for one pole to circulate around the current in one direction is equally opposed by the other pole wanting to go around the other way.
Yeah, exactly. And we're faced with the dilemma of one pole being able neither to drag the other one around nor leave it behind.
Oh, I can see where it is a puzzle, all right. Do you have any ideas about it, Mr. Faraday?
Oh, not Mr., please. Just plain Michael Faraday.
Oh.
Ideas? Did you ever do any bookbinding, Stephen?
Bookbinding?
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I have, and I don't quite see the connection.
Oh, quite an art, bookbinding. One learns not only how to bind a book, but can get bound to them. I read more than I bound, I'm afraid.
Science?
Oh, science, history. And it occurred to me yesterday, as I sat here brooding over my puzzle of the intractable poles, I remembered something I read long ago, history. Did you ever hear of Cyrus?
Cyrus, the general?
Mm-hmm, yes. Founder of the Persian Empire and a great warrior back in 509 B.C. Mm-hmm. Defeated the Medes. One of his great strokes of military genius was at the River Gidnis.
I don't recall that.
Well, it was Cyrus' problem to get his troops across that swollen river, and he did so rather cleverly. He put his men to work diverting the river into a channel to the back of his men. The river was moved in its course, and Cyrus went on to victory.
And how do you follow from that to electricity?
By allowing the electric current somewhere in its path to travel in two parallel courses, one on each side of the magnet. Now, this must be done in such a way that during the revolution of the magnet, the current is transferred from in front of the magnet to behind it. Then, continuous rotation of the magnet should be accomplished.
Well, have you tried it yet?
I intend to shortly. I just returned from the library of a friend as you came.
The library?
Rereading Herodotus, my man, concerning Cyrus.
Faraday's crowning discovery came in 1831, when he proved the induction of electric currents. He had previously obtained an electric current by means of a magnet. Now he obtained evidence that an electric current can induce another current in a different circuit. Thus did Faraday work, turning down fabulous offers in order to pursue his own theories and thoughts.
You see this notebook, Ames? I've jotted down from time to time all strange puzzles that come to my mind. The affinity between gases and liquids. The connection between magnetism and gravity. The correlation between electricity and light. Sometimes when I pursue these, I think I've taken a hold of a good thing, but can't say. Then it often turns out that instead of a fish, I pull up nothing but a weed.
Yet it was plain Michael Faraday, whose discovery of converting magnetism into electricity marked the beginning of the age of electricity. And as Faraday grew older and more tired, he worked on, studying, musing, contemplating, experimenting, remaining plain Michael Faraday to the end.
Still here so late, Mr. Faraday?
Yes, Ames, yes. I linger around the Royal Institution here, still watching, observing, learning. And I have learned the important thing. Yes, the important thing.
And what is that, Mr. Faraday?
What is what? Oh, yes, the important thing. The important thing, Ames, is to know how to take all things quietly. You see how I forget? The mind cannot retain, and I can no more help it than the sieve can help the water running out of it.
Well, I would be on my way now, but I'd better lock up and make things shut for the night. Good night, Mr. Faraday, sir.
Good night, Ames. Good night.
Here, my good man. Perhaps you can give me some information.
I'll try my best.
The Royal Mint has sent me down here to do an experiment. I don't know my way around here very well. I suppose you've been here for a good many years.
Yes, good many years.
Sort of a janitor here?
Yes, sort of.
Well, I hope they pay you well.
I could stand a little better pay, now that you mention it.
Well, could you direct me to the laboratory?
Down that corridor, there to your left, sir.
Thank you, my man. What is your name? I should like to tell your superiors of the courteous treatment you have given me.
My name? Michael Faraday.
Yes, plain Michael Faraday to the last. And that's today's Adventure in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratory. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.